There we go.
Wake up.
Let's start with a couple of verses in Psalm 42 this morning. Beginning with verse 1. As a deer pants for streams of water, O my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And that was the psalmist's concern. He was concerned that he had to do something to meet with God. And yet we know that the Lord is here. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's left the Holy Spirit inside each of us. So we know the answer to when and where to go to meet the Lord. And that's who we have the opportunity to worship this morning, the living God, the God who created the universe. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we don't have to play Where's Waldo with you. We don't have to try to find you, Lord, that you're here. Anytime we look for you, we can find you. And now, Lord, I ask that you'd open our hearts to worship you, Lord, that we would recognize you for who you are, and that our hearts and our souls and our spirits would cry out to you as the deer panteth for the water. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm going to invite you all to stand up and do a little bit of a shoulder exercise. Stretch it out, shake it off a little bit. Whatever you guys have been dealing with this morning that's been difficult, the traffic, the person in front of you, the clock, alarm clock that didn't go off, or whatever the issue, or the alarm that did go off and we didn't go off. Let's just shake it off and let's worship the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name in the sun shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
Give and take away.
blessed be your glorious name. Oh, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior.
Whatever may pass and whatever lies. Down through here from Tennessee, we took I-75 and just south of Atlanta, you could see the devastation of the Hurricane Michael that it came through. And there were trees that were uprooted, trees that, big trees, old trees that were clipped off, roofs that were blown off, and houses. And we stopped in Cordell, Georgia. Many, many people in the restaurants. The restaurants were full. The motels were full. No vacancy, no vacancy. Displaced people. And I thought, you know, like from one day to the next, things, they just change like that. But there's only one way. And if you look at people with some gray hair or white hair, you live long enough and you know how quick things can change. Everybody, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But it's how we go through it. This old hymn of the church that Nathan picked out for us to sing this morning, it says it all. Trust and obey. That's where it's at, guys. To just trust the Lord. Amen. Okay, Nathan, you're going to have to help me. When we walk with the Lord. When we walk.
With us still.
Sweet to trust.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know the saith the Lord Jesus. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Trust Him more.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we thank You that we can trust You. We can trust You when
yes,
the
Jesus.
Storms are around us. We can trust You when things are going well. Father God, we can trust You. Father God, I pray that You would draw us close to You this day. Draw us close to
thank
You.
You.
Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You may be seated. Thank You, Jesus.
Stand away. Well, good morning, everybody. We are glad that you are here and God got you here. You know, one of the scriptures as we were singing that song, You know, he just brought me to really quickly to John 14, and I'll just share the verse that he just spoke, you know, to my heart, you know, as we were singing that, trust and obey, there's no other way. And it's from John 14, 1. And he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And then he goes on to say, when Philip was asking him, Jesus, we don't know how to trust. We don't even know the way. And of course, you guys all know the verse in John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And you know, when you think about Jesus, I look out upon so many people, and I think one of the most exciting places to be is develop a relationship with Jesus where you trust in him no matter what, during the good times and especially during the bad times. And one of the most miserable places we can all be in, honest to God, is when we just go to church and that's it. When we learn a Bible verse or we sing a song. How sad is that? I think about Jesus. He has so much for us in his precious promises, in his heart, in his word. He has compassion abounding. He has love abounding. He has forgiveness abounding. He has comfort abounding. He has strength abounding. And we need to tap in and plug in and say, Jesus, will you fill me right now? Help me to trust in your word and to take you at your word no matter what. That's when you grow in your faith. That's when God strengthens you. And when you see, wow, God really does come through. Well, then your faith grows. And then you're strengthened in him. And then, man, you're filled with him. And then you want to share it with others. And you want to get to somebody else and shake them up. And then everybody else says, but you don't understand my situation. How many of us have said that? Right? And then you know what we would say right here? Stand up for a minute, Josh. I would just respond, but God. Do you know what I'm saying? See, I don't have the strength. You don't understand, Pat, but God does. Well, you know, I can't love that person, but God does. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Dan. I can't read the Bible. It's just too difficult for me. Okay, then you ask, but God can help you. He gives wisdom and understanding. I don't understand. I don't know how to. But God. See, that's our Savior and that's our Lord. We were at a conference yesterday. I was wondering, we had about, I don't know, 10 to 20 of us out at this conference, and it started off real slow in the first couple at the youth conference. In the first couple hours, I was thinking to myself, oh, Lord, it was a lot of, I felt like I was eating cotton candy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it looks like it would be so filling, and you go to take a big mouthful of it, and it just dissolves into nothing. So I was like, oh, Lord. And some of the youth are like, I feel so empty. And I'm like, I know. But then, after a couple hours, they started getting in the Word. And you could see as they started to get into the Word and they started getting into worship, you could see people start changing. You could see eyes starting to open up. You could see hearts starting to get filled. And that's what happens to all of us. As the Word gets into us, as we start thanking him and worshiping him and focusing on him, then, man, God will do a work. And so I pray that for each one of us here today, that God would just do a work in our hearts and lives and that nothing would stop it. So let's just take a minute and pray, and then we're going to actually call Gary up. I have one short video to show. Let me think, Lord. Give me just a minute on that, George. I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to show a quick video, and then we'll have Gary come on up. Father, I just want to ask for your blessing on each person here, Lord God, that you would direct our attention to you, Lord God, not worry about our son, our husband, our wife, our friend, that we would just worry about what you want to speak to us, to me, Jesus. And to get all I can, whatever you have, Lord God. And then whatever I get, Lord, I pray that when we walk out of this place, we'll want to share it, Lord, with others. And so I just pray, Lord God, that you would flow into us, Lord, so that you could flow out of us, Lord. that we would just be a vessel for you. So make the vessel clean, Lord. Cleanse all of us, our thinkings, our minds, our heart. Wash us with the water of the word. Anoint Gary as he teaches your word today, Lord God. And help us to be about your business, Jesus. And we ask this in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, well, we're going to show a quick video. We've got Halloween that's coming up here, and this is just an idea. We're going to think about renaming it National Evangelism Day. And so last year I spoke about just maybe thinking about Halloween differently this year. How many times do you have unbelievers just coming to your door and knocking on the door? How many times? Does that happen to you every day? Maybe it does. If it does, fantastic. But for me, it doesn't. Unbelievers are going to knock on my door all night long. Kids. So maybe you could share the gospel. Okay? So here's just a little. Now, when I said this last year, there were some folks that got mad at me for saying that, and then they all left the church. And that sort of thing happens. And so, you know, pray about it. Ask the Lord what God wants you to do. But man, what an opportunity to share the gospel, to give them a track. And now Living Waters just came up with something, a little pack, that you can buy something directly from them. If you don't have any, there's some tracks out here. You can get some good candy. The scripture says to make the most of every opportunity. How much of an opportunity is that? Kids are coming to your door. Give them the good candy, not the little cheap, you know, orange candy that your grandma used to give you that tasted terrible that nobody wanted anyway. And yeah, give them the good candy and then give them a gospel track. Tell them Jesus loves them. It's just a thought for you to pray about, okay? George, do you mind? Okay. Roll film.
It's that time of year again, friends. The date on my watch tells me that October 31st is just around the corner. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, it's almost Halloween. Wrong. We like to call it National Evangelism Day. I mean, imagine, we go out of our way as Christians to try to reach people with the gospel. It's the day when unbelievers are actually coming to our door. That's why we want to equip you. We have what's called the Halloween Outreach Pack. Let me show you all the goodies that are in this nice little spiffy pack. We've got, first of all, one of my favorites. Maybe you've seen these in the red and blue. We've had them for a long time. They're called the Curved Illusion. We've adapted them specifically for Halloween. They're orange and black. And if you've never seen them work, let me show you. Orange and black. Here we go. Which one looks longer? Orange or black? Well, obviously the black. Now check this out. Just to show you I'm not doing anything funny, nothing weird. Orange or black? Oh, orange. Wow. Check this out. Same size. And then what? The gospel on the back. Kids love these. In addition to that, we have, of course, our famous $1 million bill track that's been adapted for Halloween as well. It's got some stuff here in the orange and black and pumpkin and whatnot. Then we've got the famous Albert Brainstein tract as well. Kids love this. Teaches them how to memorize the Ten Commandments. And then we've got a couple of really cool booklets. This one is called An Atheist Asks a Question. Ray, Are You Afraid to Die? Some personal stuff in here with Ray. People are thinking about death, of course, around Halloween. And then our well-known Why Christianity tract or booklet, Solving Life's Most Important Questions by Ray as well. These are about $20-something. We're making them available for $15. Why? Because we're eager to get them into your hands so that they get into the hands of unbelievers so that people get the gospel. Now listen, I know that Christians are conflicted about the whole Halloween thing. Forget about all that. That's not our intention or motive or thought. Our motive is to reach the lost with the gospel. So why not use a holiday that the world is celebrating to give them the truth of everlasting life? Kids will come to your door. Make sure to give them candy, good candy, a lot of candy. Don't be the uncool Christian in the neighborhood. And then throw one of the tracts into their bags as well, or do the little trick with this thing and reach them with the gospel. We are called to be salt and light. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. So go to livingwaters.com and make sure to get the Halloween Outreach Pack.
livingwaters.com. Just would encourage you. Why not try something a little new? We've been doing it at our house for about 10 years, and the kids love it. We all look forward to every one of those kids that are coming to our door that we can get a gospel track. We pray over the tracks. We pray over the kids. Whoever gets them would read it, whether for teens or adults even. We hand them out Just something to think and pray about for reaching others for Jesus Christ. Okay. Pastor Gary, you want to come on up for just a second? I'm just going to lay a hand on you and pray for you. Excited to hear what you want to hear. Now, since we were at that youth conference, Gary was nice enough. Somebody asked me today, hey, are we finally going to use these props and finish? We've been doing spiritual warfare for, you know, the last couple of weeks. Are we going to see the last part of this today? And I said, no, actually, because we were at 12, 13 hours at the youth conference, and Gary was nice enough to preach today and take that burden off. And so I'm just thankful for him, and we'll do that next week, okay? Father, I just want to say thank you for Gary, Lord God. Just bless him today, Lord. Anoint his tongue to speak your word. Anoint his eyes, his mind, his heart, just to be in tune with you and in step with you, Lord God. Lord, I'm thinking just of Heidi and Joel that'll be gone for the next 3 weeks, Lord, seeing their family in Arizona. Lord, just be with them, Lord. And I just ask a blessing over Gary right now. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, one thing, Gary, is it okay? Somebody wanted to say something for 1 second. Is that okay? I just want to make sure. Okay.
I would just like to thank all of you for your prayers on my hip. I had my surgery, went without a hitch, got up the next day, left, and was walking without a cane and a walker. Thank you all so much. God bless you all. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. I love God. He's so awesome. Sophie, where are you? Okay. You're in charge.
Good morning. Creaks louder than I do. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 1. And George, I got a special request. And then, can you have the trust and obey the words from that available so we could click over to that if we wanted to? Can you kind of cue them up so that it'd be handy to get to them? I know I'm throwing you a curve, I know. Yeah, I know, but I'm looking for a trick answer. Okay, well, we're going to get started. Pastor Darren is passing out Bibles, I think. And that's so everybody, please join me in Ephesians 2. And who would like to be our reader? The first 10 verses. Neely, Sophia, would you be good enough to give Miss Neely the microphone? And Neely, I promise not to interrupt you.
It's okay if you do. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his grace, his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated up with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a port city and a prosperous city. It was a provincial capital. And that, so there was government there too. It was also known as a fairly religious city. There were a lot of different religions in the place. And so in those ways, it looks a lot like modern-day America. a lot like us today. It's written about somewhere between AD 60 to AD 64, about 30 years after the crucifixion. George, can you take me to the first? I'm sorry, I know I'm throwing you curveballs here. The Lord's throwing them to me, so I'm just passing them on. And Chris, would you do the lights for us? Okay, I have two goals that I think the Lord would have us achieve today. First, make clear how amazing God's grace really is. And two, ask what you're going to do about that grace. Let's see. There we go. Part one, Day of the Living Dead. This was a picture of me before I knew the Lord. At least it was a picture I thought was me. Actually, I looked a little better than that. And Mary Kate will swear to that. That's when I still had hair. At the time, I was a stockbroker in my early 30s. Had it going on. My wife was a professional. We were respected. Wore a three-piece suit to work. Driving a couple of new cars. Thought we really had it going together. And yet, what does Ephesians 1 tell us? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, and all those who are disobedient. That's who I was. And I didn't realize it at the time. It's a hopeless condition when you think about it. When you're dead, what can you do to help yourself? You're spiritually dead. It's interesting, the word walk that's used in Ephesians 2, right? In Greek it means to tread or lived. So you lived according to the course of this world. We lived in and for the world, right? An aimless life, wandering around trying to fulfill our needs. It's funny that at that time the world tells us how to live and what we want. Yet I think that most of us, you know, you see so many people, what they're looking, they think they're looking to fill their needs. It's all the marketing that is thrown at us. And that, but I think we're looking for relief because we're actually wounded. And we're the devil. We're controlled by the devil. He controls our desires, tells us what to want. And so this is what we really are looking like. That's how God saw me, right? Walking dead, physically hurt, emotionally hurt, spiritually hurt, the walking dead. First Corinthians 1:18 tells us, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Truth is we're dead, but for God reaching out for us in the power of God. You know, and think about it too. Paul knew this probably better than most. He understood it in that because he was dead spiritually when he was persecuting the Christians. And he was persecuting believers. It took the Damascus Road experiencing God shining light on him while he was still dead. So he understood what he was writing here. Verse 3 tells us that the lusts of our flesh trapped us to our physical desires. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Ephesians 5 tells us, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. I'm sure God's in what we're doing here this morning. It's so funny. But God, amazing grace. Right, the first couple of verses are really pretty grim. We're dead. We're spiritually dead. We're being led about by the nose by a devil who wants to lie, cheat, destroy us. But there's amazing grace. Right, verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Right? I'm so encouraged knowing that the Lord is behind this morning. Right? Interesting. Josh walks in right with his But God t-shirt. Right? In fact, I caught him before. I go, Josh, I think I'm going to ask you to stand up and let everybody look at you. Right? That's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. But God. No matter what happens before us. In that, but God. I mean, there is nothing that's bigger than but God. And that pastor stole half of what I was going to say. And that's the Lord working through the pastor. And that, it's interesting, in the NIV, and I didn't check other translations, at the NIV, it's mentioned, let's see, 64 times. Right? And I look at my own life, right? I was dead in transgressions, but God reached down and touched my life. Right? You know, I think all of us, we need to treasure the but God moments in our life, and I think we all have them. Right? Those are our testimonies. Those are the things we need to be sharing with others. Romans 5:8, right? A verse I think all of us know, but God shows his love for us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ask yourself, why did God do it? Well, I don't think it's so we could be better zombies. He did it because of his great love. He wants us to be a new creation. We are not walking with the devil anymore. We are walking with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I count that as being amazing. Verses 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him to be seated, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These verses, there is so much in these verses. First, God did three things here. Right? He tells us. Right? He made us alive. Right? He raised us up and seated us with Christ. Think about that. Think about that. Raised up and seated with Christ. That's not amazing grace. I don't know what it is. And it's important for me to know this as I face life. Because in this life, you will have troubles. Right? We get to share them with each other and that. But we will have troubles. But God shows his kindness through grace. In all the ages yet to come. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not from works, so that no one can boast. We all know this passage. I think it's fascinating that verse 8 repeats the grace that's mentioned earlier. Right? We're reminded that it's a gift. It's a gift of the Lord to us. Heard one pastor say, and I think it's true, that grace isn't something. Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus Christ. That's grace. Jesus. He embodies grace. think about verse 9. I heard one pastor say, and I thought this was kind of fascinating and so true, right, that it's a good thing that that grace is a gift, that heaven is a gift. You know, because frankly, I wouldn't want to live in heaven next door to the guy that thought that he earned it, that he led a little bigger Bible study or lived a little better life. I think I'd rather live next door to somebody who, like me, recognizes that it wasn't anything that I did. You know, it wasn't what I had to offer. It was just grace. Yeah, I think back when I was first saved, frankly, I thought, now, that's probably a good thing for the Lord that you know, that I accepted him. Yeah, foolish pride. And that, you know, heck, I had it going on. I could do marvelous things for him. It's taken him 30-some years to teach me that he didn't need my pride, and that in the things that he put in me for his use, to be used with him. And we'll get into that a little bit in a minute. Now, you may be asking yourself, okay, why did I take 20 minutes here for a gospel presentation, right? Hopefully, everybody in this room knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. Unfortunately, that's probably not true. And if anyone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today is the day to quit being a zombie, quit wandering around aimlessly, wounded emotionally, physically, spiritually. Let the light of the Lord shine on you. Accept the gift that he has for you. And if that's you today, make sure you talk to Pastor, talk to me, talk to somebody here, that because you don't want to leave this place without knowing Jesus as Savior. The second reason is selfish, because, like I say, for me, I thought, you know, I was bringing the Lord something special. I wasn't one of those radical saves, somebody who you know, was dying because of drugs or alcohol, or was about to kill myself because a business deal had gone bad, or, you know, Joy mentioned, you know, people that suddenly their life, you know, went haywire through whatever reason. I wasn't one of those in that. And I think folks like me, and there's probably more than, I'm not the only one here, and I think we take grace a little bit lightly. We maybe don't recognize what grace really is, how amazing it is. You know, even though we think we have our life together, we really are walking zombies. Our grace is every bit as amazing as a person that the Lord saves when he's got a needle in his arm. But now on to part three. What are you going to do about it? Right? God gave you this amazing gift. What are you going to do about it? Well, verse 10, and this is really where I want to focus this morning. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's been about 4 weeks now that the Lord has been just talking to me through this verse. All right, and I want us to look at it in detail. See where I am in my notes. The word workmanship, I think many of us have heard this before. In Greek, it's poema, right? And that says that we are God's poem. Right? And the word in Greek means that which is made, a manufactured product. Now, I ask you to think about it. When an author writes a poem, what is he trying to accomplish? Well, he wants to share his heart, right? He has a message that he wants us to get. He's trying to say something that he feels is important, right? Something that he thinks we need to know. He's trying to create something beautiful, something noteworthy. Think about this for a second. This says that the author of the universe, the creator of the universe, and God is love, but he is also a creator, right? The God that created the whole universe created me. I've got a vision in my mind of God and his workbench, right? He's just finished creating the world. He's thrown out these stars and those moons and the universe as we know it today in this planet Earth, right? He's got his workbench, right? He's got Susan, right? He's got Nathan. He's got Gary on his workbench, right? And he's working. He's creating us, right? And he says, oh, I know Nathan's going to need this at this point in his life if he does what I ask him to do. So I'm going to put some musical ability in Nathan. It's a gift I'm going to give him so that he can use it later on. And I know that Susan, she's going to need this. I'm going to put this gift in her life. She's not going to discover it until years from now. And I can't wait to see the look on her face when she discovers the gift that I've put in her. And God is an amazing workman. Right? They talk about Michelangelo. I think I had this story right. I may be wrong, but that they asked Michelangelo how he sculpted David, right, the famous sculptor. And I think he said, "Well, I chip away the things that aren't David." But there's two things in that. I think it's true. God chips away in you and me the things that aren't God, that aren't godly, that aren't who he made us to be. The things that we picked up in the fleshly world from the devil, he chips away those things. But unlike Michelangelo with David, Michelangelo got to a point, he goes, David is finished, put it on display. God doesn't work that way. Right? God still works with me. He's still refining me. He's still changing you and I. Day by day, time by time. That's up to us. We can tell him, get away from me with your chisel. I don't want your chisel. And then, quit chipping on me. It hurts. And sometimes it does. But when we allow it, it makes us a more beautiful poem for him. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The fact that he still is chipping away at us brought out Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
You know what?
No. Yeah. Bring, Sophia, you have the mic. Bring it to Pastor, please.
Thank you, sweet pea. Okay, I was just looking as you were sharing that verse, when I've read it a million times, and how sometimes the Holy Spirit just shows you something new. Mark was just telling me his life has been in John 14, and he's just like, I'm preparing for something I'm going to teach next month, and God just showed me new stuff, and it's so exciting. And it's almost like the same thing when I read this. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it or carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, I've always focused on, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I mean, that's fantastic. But I don't know if I just overlooked it or never really saw it, but it says being confident of this. Because I think when we see all of our mess ups and our faults and our, it just, it can seem like, I am just such a mess. I must be the broken piece of artwork, or I must be the sculpture that he smashes and starts to redo it again. But it says, God's word says that I can be confident that he who started this work in us will bring it to completion. I can take that by faith, and that just gives me a great deal of blessing and encouragement when I see that.
Well, you're past the point in this life when we're saved and we're truly a child of God. We're past the point that God says, "Oh, I want to start over." We're past that point. He's committed. He's committed. And Pastor's right. We can be confident. Sophia, head back to Mark. Thank you.
A couple of slides back in verse, it was on for verse 10, what God created us to be. And just before that, you had said something about you're not maybe confident that everyone here is not a member of the Walking Dead. And as soon as you said that, a question came to mind. How can I be absolutely certain that I am not a member of the Walking Dead, but I am walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now my new identity?
Thank you. Thank you. I did a gospel presentation without an invitation. Yeah, how foolish can you be? Thank you, Lord.
That was burning in me ever since you did it. I said, "Lord, are you sure you want me?" And he said, "You better raise your hand before I light your seat
Mark,
on fire."
Well, Mark, since he used you to bring it up, you want to answer the question or you want me to? Where's he leading?
I can give what I believe he's leading me to say, but I know he's got...
Okay, really, it's quite simple. It's quite simple. It's saying, "Lord, I need you. I can't run my life by myself. I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I accept him as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord." It's that simple. It's that simple. And like Lazarus, when Jesus... called Lazarus out and said, "Well, throw off the grave clothes." Right? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you get to throw off the zombie clothes. You get to throw off the zombie clothes, and the Lord starts healing those zombie wounds that you carry with you. Thank you, Mark. I didn't know you'd want a rebuttal.
No, it's not a rebuttal. It's in addition. Pastor D was talking just a few minutes ago about this is how you plug in. And think about what that means. When you've got a plug and you plug into the wall, what are you doing? You're getting power that's generated somewhere else to run something that you need to work. It's like turning on a light. You can flip that switch all day long, but if you're not plugged in to the power source, it's not going to work.
True.
And how do we know that we're going to plug into the power source? We have to go to the Word of God, and we have to find out what the Word of God says about a trouble that we're facing now. We plug into him, allow him to live through us and work that thing out, and then we know that we're plugged in to the source.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, I'm fascinated by this part of this verse, right? It says that we're God's workmanship. Okay, so he's created us a certain way, right? And we're told, and I didn't take the scripture down, but we're told in other places that we all have at least one gift from the Lord. We have different talents. And then you can look around the room and some people are good at one thing, some people are good at another. Right? But the verse says that we are created to do good works. Right? The Lord didn't just create us so we wouldn't be a zombie. He created us to do good works, and he prepared in advance. He knew when I was still on the workbench what good works he had prepared for me to do. Now that leaves me with a responsibility. right? To find his will for me and to obey it. Interesting that this morning Nathan chooses trust and obey. Right? Trust and obey. Curious that the Lord has him choose that.
Do you think that's why so many Christians aren't excited about their faith, because they're not doing the works?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to move on because. Okay, this slide is very important. Right, we don't want to get this backwards, and I think we all know it, but I just want to make absolutely sure that we emphasize that faith breeds salvation. That works. Faith breeds salvation. Salvation leads us to the good works. And those good works lead to heavenly treasures. John Calvin, a preacher from 1800s, 1700s, anyway. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. In other words, if you have deep faith, you're going to produce works. Just like a healthy apple tree can't do anything but produce apples once a year. It doesn't have a choice. Neither do we. So, ask yourself, well, why should I want to do these works? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Microphone.
On that last slide, I think I would change that slightly.
Okay.
I think faith leads us to Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus... our relationship with Jesus, you know, Jesus says, come unto me, you know, that we are to yoke ourselves with him. I think salvation is much more than just a one-time decision. It's a walk
mm-hmm.
with Jesus. And our walk with Jesus, our desire to obey him, he says when he left, you know, go and make disciples of him. Not of a church or a person, but to be disciples of him, teaching us to obey all that he taught. And it's in that relationship of learning how to obey him and be like him and not hate and to love our enemies, and to store up our treasures in heaven, and to do all that he taught us that creates good works.
Agreed. I think so. In my mind, all of that is included in salvation, because when you're truly saved, I think you do all of those things. But what you're really describing is verse 10. Right, you're describing verse 10. Yeah. Right. Number of reasons why we should do these works. First, they refine us. Right. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. This is from Zechariah. When we walk with the Lord and do the works that he's laid out for us, it creates a desire in us to be healthier. It helps to burn away the things that aren't gold and silver, to chip away the things that aren't the creation that the Lord made us to be. I think most people would be surprised to find out how much time their pastors spend in prayer before they minister. You know, whether it be a counseling session, a prayer session, a teaching session, preaching, and that, and how much of that time is spent asking the Lord to reveal any places in them that need to be healed. The works also connect us to Jesus. you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I think this is part what Sue was just talking about. To put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Interesting, tell you a story about my life. A few years ago, I was with a group team, went to a denominational church in Melbourne for a weekend, and we were praying. We were taught, and we were praying primarily for emotional and physical healing. And on Saturday afternoon, pastor had finished the teaching, and afterwards told us to ask the Lord the Lord would have us go in the congregation, spread out among the congregation, and who the Lord would have us pray with. And Lord tells me to go pray for the senior pastor of the church. I didn't like this idea. And as Darren reminds me almost weekly, that I need to be bolder. And okay, I guess maybe I am timid. I don't want to use the word chicken, but some might. And I fought with the Lord for a minute, but he told me to go and pray with this pastor. And so I did. I had no idea. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to pray with me. You haven't given me anything to say. And I'm just kind of walking out here bold and stupid. Well, I prayed with the pastor and moved on. Found out later on, I didn't know it, that the pastor had been kind of discouraged, that he hadn't seen much fruit in his ministry lately and kind of felt like he was at a crossroads. And he told the pastor from our team that, that the Lord, sent some fool, he didn't use that word, but he sent somebody over and gave him the exact words that this pastor needed to hear. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. But that taught me, so much, about how the Lord works, right? I mean, they connected me to the Lord. Right? There's no question in my mind, after I heard that we had connected. I didn't make eye, I had no idea what to pray for this pastor. We were definitely connected. Right? Now, the works are also a testament to God's love, right? John 13, right? Again, these are verses we all know. There were so many verses. I could have had 75 verses if I'd had more than 45 minutes. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When we do the works, so often the works are from one person to bless another person in the body. And I think at times, there was a time when our son was very sick. And a number of friends, reached out, stood by Mary Kate. And that they were demonstrating God's love. And I knew it. Not that they're not good people and not that they're not, they are. And that, but they were being used by the Lord. These works are also a testament to God's grace. Right? He tells us in verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I don't have time today, but one of these days I think I'm going to do a study, to nothing else, just for myself to understand the phrase, incomparable riches of his grace. His grace is so big. Can you imagine the incomparable riches of his grace? A Before I leave then, one other thought. Interesting. In this body, right, so often, you know, you hear things done in Jesus' name. Right? And I think everybody knows. And that, but there's a couple of reasons for that. One, because we want to be acting the same way Jesus would act if he were physically here, when he's spiritually here. And that, so we do it in his name as if we were him. And I don't mean that in some weird theological sense. And that. But I think we also want everybody to understand that the goodness, you know, whether it be, you know, somebody helping clean up after a hurricane, like the help, you know, I got cleaning up the house after a hurricane and that, or, you know, somebody praying for somebody or visiting in a hospital and that, it's done in Jesus' name. These works glorify God. Right. Matthew 5:15. Neither do people put a lamp and light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When you do the works that the Lord has laid out for you, people see your good deeds, but they give the glory to the Lord. Return to the story I told you a minute ago. That pastor, right, when he heard, was prayed, he knew that the Lord was there for him. He knew that the Lord answered his prayers, and he gave glory to God. And presumably, I don't know, I've not heard from him since, but presumably his congregation were blessed by that. Works also, and I didn't do a slide for this, they allow us to grow. My pastor's story. Yeah, I was afraid to be bold. I was afraid to look stupid. That's who I was. And I think yesterday Erica gave, and she gave me permission to tell this, and that she gave a marvelous story about her dad at the memorial service, that when she was a child, she was afraid of lightning and thunder, right? And her dad waited for a storm and took her out, said, together, we're going to conquer these things, right? And that's what the Lord does with us when we do these works, when we're willing to do the works, especially the ones that we're afraid to do. Right? When we go through them with the Lord, right, he shows us, yes. I'm going to hold your hand. I know you're afraid. You're afraid to look stupid. I'm going to hold your hand. And it doesn't necessarily say I'm going to make you look smart. It's I'm going to hold your hand even if you do look stupid. I'm going to be there for you. Okay. Now, how do you find out what works I should do? One of the commentators that I use and that I thought summed it up pretty well, right? His name is William MacDonald. Right? First, confess and forsake sin as soon as we are conscious of it in our lives. Probably self-explanatory, but if we're entertaining sin in our lives that the Lord's convicting us of, it separates us from God. We're not hearing from him properly. We're not going to hear the works that he has for us. Be continually and conditionally yielded to him. Think about if you're out driving, right, and you see the yield sign. What does that mean? It means that the other guy gets to go first. Right? If I'm yielded to God and I want to do X, but God says Y, I don't get to hit the accelerator and pull in front of him. It don't work that way. I need to yield and do what he says first. study the Word of God to discern His will and then do whatever He tells us to do. This almost could be two, right? Study the Word, right? Discernment's a funny thing. And that, and you know, that little cartoon where the devil's whispering in one ear and the angel in another. There's a little bit of truth in that. You know, we hear from God, but the enemy is also trying to talk to us in that. And just like, you know, they say treasury agents, they study real bills so that they can identify the counterfeits. Study the Word, and you'll know when you're hearing from God. You'll recognize His voice. And then do whatever He tells you to do. This is a big one. You know, it's trust and obey. And I'm a goad kicker. I got to admit, I don't like to always obey. The Lord's working with me on that. Spend time in prayer each day. When Mary Kate and I first started dating, we wanted to know each other better. So we spent time asking, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? How do you, and that. Today, right, you know, I've been blessed to know more and more of you. And quite often it's a, you know, a cup of coffee, you know, breakfast. Oh, well, what are your hobbies? What do you do? What do you like? Where do you, and that, right? You don't get to know somebody without spending time with them. You can't know the Lord if you don't spend time with Him. Seize opportunities of service as they arise. I think the key word there is seize. It's not touch, caress, pet. Seize. It's aggressive. It's a serious word. Seize the opportunities. The Lord gives you an opportunity to work. Why wouldn't you seize it? I mean, if somebody put a gold bar in front of you and said, well, it's yours if you seize it, man, you don't have to ask me twice to reach out. Same thing might be true for an eclair, but we won't go there.
You know, Mr. Gary, just one quick comment on that.
Poor Sophia. I am glad she has fast legs. And a beautiful smile.
And so I was just thinking about that. Seize the opportunities, like you were saying, of service as they arise. And this is just watching over like 20 years, you know, like I've just watched so many people not seize the opportunities of service. And, you know, one thing we have to remind ourselves, at least I have to remind myself, is that, you know, His commands are not burdensome. They're actually, they might seem that way, but they're for our good.
Yes.
They're for our benefit. Mm-hmm. He's asking you to do these things. It's actually going to benefit you.
Yes.
But we don't do it. And then here's the other thing. Like, seize the opportunities. I've watched everybody wants to, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to say this. But was it Burger King? Had the slogan, have it your way, have it your way. Okay, that shows my age. But anyway,
yeah,
hold the pickle, hold
the
lettuce, special orders,
there.
Don't upset us. Okay, so, you know, it's almost like when the Lord gives us opportunities to serve, we want to do it our way.
Yes.
And so we want to cater it like this, and I only want to do this part, and this seems too hard, I want to do. That's not serving.
No.
When you serve the Lord, it's let me just do whatever He wants. And that's where the blessing comes in. If you try to manufacture it and work it in a way that's convenient for you, you're not being a blessing. You'll probably not be a blessing to Him and to others, and you're not going to grow the way He wants you to do. So I just want to encourage you. When the Lord says serve, just jump in and serve however He wants. Don't put conditions. Don't tailor it. Just do it. And then you'll be blessed. And then you'll be encouraged. And then you'll be empowered.
So much truth in that. I got through, part of the way I got through college was on debate scholarship. Debating with God is a stupid endeavor. One, He's better than me. But two, He knows everything. And so when, you know, when the Lord says, oh, do this, and it's like, well, I'll do it later. Or, well, I don't want to do it exactly the way you tell me to. Like, that's stupid. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, you might be saying to yourself, at least somebody here is, but I can't do it. I can't do these works. These are go pray with somebody or serve somebody that I don't like. I can't do that. You know what? You're right. You can't. But in Christ Jesus, you can. That's the power source that Mark was talking about earlier. Yeah. Ourselves, we're unplugged. Who are we kidding? And I got news for you. You know, if it's just up to me, if it's not Christ in me, I'm putting my feet up, relaxing, and watching, I don't know, baseball. Yeah. Microphone, please.
I don't know. Back one more where it says seize opportunities.
Oh, okay.
Number five.
Yes.
You know, for those of us that have been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, at least half our lives, seizing an opportunity looks a lot different than it does for somebody that's brand new in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Amen.
You know, the Lord does not expect a brand new believer to be able to walk up to somebody and seize the day like somebody that's been there. His expectation is different. Why? Because we've been walking with him. We've trusted him. We've learned who he is. We've experienced in our life. So if you're brand new, don't expect that you're going to be able to do what Gary does right away. He's been walking with the Lord for years and years and years. So your seizing an opportunity is going to look a little different than Gary seizing an opportunity or Pastor D looking and seizing an opportunity.
Along with that, though, keep in mind, right, as the Creator knows me better and he knows you better than we know ourselves. In that, so the work that he laid out for me to do 30 years ago, Mark's right, is vastly different than the work he would lay out for me to do tomorrow. And that. So if the Lord lays the work out for you, assume it's at your grade level. Okay, let's kind of try to summarize, and time isn't too bad. Okay, we're spiritually dead, and we're born again, and we become spiritually alive. Right. We start doing works of the devil. We're born again. Now we're called to do works of the Lord. Had two goals today. Make clear how amazing God's grace really is and ask you what you're going to do about it. The truth is, as I look at, you know, I'm blessed to see so many beautiful people. I'll see the Lord work in so many different lives. You know, and I pray that I have another 20 years where I can see what he's going to do with so many of you 20 years from now. But this is a choice. This is, you know, it's a little bit like elective surgery. Right? Lord calls you and says, hey, I've got to, you know, can you serve this way? And sometimes it's not very glamorous. Sometimes it's taking out the trash. You know, sometimes it's, you know, raking leaves, you know, cleaning the bathrooms. Favorite job of everybody. And I can go, oh, Lord, come on. I'm too good to clean the bathrooms. Can't you have somebody else do that? Yeah, he probably could. But if he's asked me to do it, there's a reason. There's a reason. You know, maybe he needs to deal with a little bit of pride that I have in my heart. Yeah. Maybe I still need to get off part of that coat and tie that I wore 30 years ago when I thought I was something special. Man. George, were you able to bring the... Can you run us to the first verse of Trust and Obey? I think the Lord brought us that this morning for a reason. The first and third verses, I was back to worship and go, wow, Lord, thank you. We must be on the right place. I'm going to get vertigo watching that. Okay, I love it, right? When we walk with the Lord, what did he tell us? These works that we are to walk in, right? Are we walking alone? No, we're walking in Christ Jesus, right? In the light of his word, right? What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. We don't do these works by ourselves and with all who will trust and obey. George, take me to verse 3, please. There we go. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share. Sounds like works to me. But our toil he doth richly repay. He repays us. When we're his hands and his feet on earth, he repays us. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. It's up to you. Grace is amazing. Whether you were at the end of your rope or you thought you were on top of the world, but God. And he lays this out for you. You have the choice. You know, if you're saved, heaven is assured. You can turn your back on the works that the Lord brings to you. But you sure are missing out on a lot if you do. Father God, I don't know how to thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your grace is so amazing. That while we were yet dead, you saved us. And that it wasn't works, it was a gift, Lord. But I thank you, too, that unlike Michelangelo and his statues, that you don't just throw us out into the world and say, go fend for yourselves, you're on your own. That you walk with us. That you've created works for us to do in advance, putting gifts in us, Lord, so that we might perform the works that you create for us. And then you bless us for doing them. Lord, thank you so much. You were so gracious to us, Lord. Lord, help us to do what Jesus asked us to do, become disciples and make disciples. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen.